Shiurim on Nani Bechoros. This is going to be our last shiur on Peter Chamor. I want to talk about an interesting topic tonight, and it's one that I think has some just like very nice, good lumdus. It should be like, it should be very, very good. We've spoken about how there are different kinds of Bechoros. I'm building in the Chazara now because for all those of us that don't chazar this as rigorously as we would ideally want to, there are different kinds of Bechoros. There's Bechor of Adam. Bechor of Adam is a person who is a Bechor. There we do Pidyon HaBen, who gets Bechor and Nachala. There's also Bechor Behema Tehora, the Bechor of a kosher animal that we offer in the Mizbeach. As Hashem will speak about that in future weeks. Tonight we're talking about Peter Chamor, a Bechor Behema Tmeya. It's the one example of a non-kosher animal, a Chamor. When it is born, so the first week we spoke about this, we spoke about its status. The status of that Peter Chamor. We saw a bit of a machlokas, what level of Kedusha does it have? Does it have no real Kedusha? Kedusha's damim, Kedusha's guf. Last week we spoke about how ideally the Torah tells us, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be poded. I can be poded by giving a seh, or if I don't have a seh itself, I can give the value of the chamor. And we spoke last week about, based on the Michas Chinuch, what the nature of that is. What am I really doing? Am I really, is it did an iser and I'm being mafkia, the iser and the chalos and the animal? Is it more just a din of mamonos? It's a manas kahuna. I have to give it to the kohen. What exactly it comes to do? Let's say, and this will be the Torah, this will be tonight's topic. Let's say you don't want to do anything with it. Let's say you decide that you are not interested in, let's say you decide that you're not interested in being poded. If I'm not interested in being poded, so what exactly do I do? So the Torah tells us here in Parshas Bo, if I'm able to find it. Torah tells us, V'chol peter t'yud gimel, yud gimel, and shmos, V'chol peter chamor tifdeh baseh, V'yim lo tifdeh v'arafto. If I do not redeem it, then I do something called arefa. What am I doing? So I'm going to take some sort of a large knife or axe type thing, and you're supposed to take this chamor, and you basically kill it from the back of its neck, and you break the bone in its neck. It's a very vicious kind of a death. We'll speak about why it's dafka in that kind of a way a little bit later. But that's what it is. After you do that, the animal is usher to use. You're not allowed to derive any benefit from that animal. So that's what happens. Ideally, I'm supposed to give it to a kohen. If I don't give it to a kohen, so then we're going to take it. We're going to take the axe. We're going to kill it from the back of its neck, and that's considered to be va'araf. The Torah teaches us that is what you do. What we're going to try to speak about tonight is what exactly the status of that is. Is that considered to be a mitzvah? Is it not a mitzvah? What its purpose is, what its goal is, what do Chazal seem to say as far as how we relate to it. So let's start like this. We're going to start by outlining some of the basic shitos, and over time we'll fill things in a little bit. The Ravid understands in Hilchos Bikurim that this is not a mitzvah at all. It's not a mitzvah to give to do the arefa. Further, he writes even, Aval hi avera, umazik nikra. You're supposed to give it to a kohen. If you don't give it to a kohen, so we make you do this arefas peter chamor, but it's not really at all considered to be a mitzvah. The Ravid points out a Gemara in Bechoros in Daf Yud. The Gemara there in Bechoros writes that why are we making him do this? Since he was mafsid, mimono, shel kohen, since he should have given the kohen something and he didn't, we're going to respond by being mafsid his mamon. In many ways, it appears to be much more of a knas. Essentially, it's a kind of punishment. He should have been poded. He decided he's not going to be poded. So we're going to respond by making him do this. For the Ravid, it is not a mitzvah. Rav Shlomo Ibn Gabriel, who also counted the Tariq mitzvot, a very famous commentary on him, is the Rashbat and the Zohar Rakia. I'm not very famous. The Rashbat and Zohar Rakia, where the Rashbat points out Rav Shlomo Ibn Gabriel is not counted as a mitzvah either. In his list of the Tariq mitzvot, there's no mitzvah of a refa, because Pashas says it's not really a mitzvah. It's really something which is just a knas. However, there are many Rishonim that believe that it actually is a mitzvah. The Bahag, the Rambam, the Sefer Achinach, they count this in their list of Taryag mitzvos, the mitzvah of not just being podeh, but also doing the arefa. For the Bahag, there's one mitzvah. The mitzvah is podeh or arefas peter chamor. Got to do one of those. According to the Rambam, however, the Rambam thinks there's two separate mitzvos. One mitzvah is to be poedit. Second mitzvah, if I'm not going to be poedit, I have to do the arefa. That is very much analogous to, for the Rambam, we'll see why in a second, yibum and chalitza. Ideally, machok is the Gemara, but let's say yibum for some is better. If you don't do yibum, there's another track called chalitza, but that's counted as two separate mitzvahs. Why does the Rambam think it's a mitzvah, and why does the Rambam think it's two separate mitzvahs? That's because he has a Mishnah in Bechoros and Daf Yud Gimel. The Mishnah in Bechoros tells us that mitzvahs ha-pediya kodemes le-mitzvahs arefa. The Mishnah goes on to say mitzvahs chalitza kodemes le-mitzvahs yibum, maybe it's yibum kodemes le-mitzvahs chalitza, different days in Chazal. But on the list of what takes precedence, the Mishnah says mitzvahs pediya comes before mitzvahs arefa. What do I see from there? L'chor I see, says the Rambam, it's called a mitzvah. Not only that, the fact that one is called mitzvahs pediya and then it's mitzvahs arefa, just like the Mishnah goes on to say mitzvahs yibam, mitzvahs chalitza, just like yibam and chalitza are two separate mitzvahs, so to being poda and the arefa, that's considered to be two separate mitzvahs. Which means it's the chaz of what we've seen so far. We've seen that there's if I don't want to be poda, my peter chamor, that we're going to do arefa. If I don't do that arefa is a machlokas, what exactly is it, a mitzvah or not? One mahalach, the Ravid and Shlomo ibn Gabriel, it is not a mitzvah, bichlal. He points out it's a Gemara and Bechoros and Daf Yud. He doesn't want to give mamon to the Kohen. Yafsid mimono. We're going to take away, or yufsad mimono. His mamon is going to be lost. We're going to take it away from him. It's a knas, it's a punishment. The Rambam, however, thinks that it is considered to be a mitzvah. What are they arguing about? So we're going to try to point out a couple of things. But let's start like this. On a level of text, on a level of just rayas, each mahalach in Rishonim quotes a Gemara. The Rambam quotes a Gemara where it seems to be explicit, mitzvahs pediyah and mitzvahs arev, it's not like a mitzvah. And the Rav is pretty clear because he quotes a Gemara that yufsad mimono, that it's considered to be it's a knas to mess him over. So what do they do? So a couple of things as far as just dealing with the text, and this will lead us into, I think, a more nuanced perspective on some of these things. The first mahalach is like this. The Rav himself writes, it's not a mitzvah at all. It's not a mitzvah at all. It's really an Avera. Why exactly do we call that in the Mishnah mitzvahs arefa? Doesn't that like imply it's a mitzvah? Ravid, you're telling me it's called in Avera? Says the Ravid, well, it's agav the fact that we call it mitzvahs pediyah, so we like to call it also mitzvahs arefa. Now, some of those who came on the Rambam point out, it's one thing to take something, maybe it's not a mitzvah, and call it a mitzvah. Maybe that's one chiddush. To take something which is an Avera and call it a mitzvah, because agav mitzvahs pediyah, so that already sounds to be like a bit of a chiddush, but the Ravid feels a need to reread that Mishnah, Daf Yud Gimel and Bechoros, it's really not a mitzvah that much. What about those we show them that think it really is a mitzvah? What do they do with the Gemara that says he caused a loss to the Kohen, so we're going to mess him over with a loss? So here there are, I think, three ways of saying it, and two of these are really going to add a bit of a nuance. The first Mahalach is the Ma'arid al-Ghazi. Ma'arid al-Ghazi is a very important Mefarish on Mesechas Bechoros. It's a commentary on the Ramban's Hilchos Bechoros and the like. Ma'arid al-Ghazi points out the following, and it's an awesome Ha'ara. The Mishnah on Yud Gimel of Mitzvahs Pediyas Kodemes Mitzvahs Arefa, and the Gemara on Daf Yud, that because he caused a loss to the Kohen, we're going to cause him a loss, he points out, it's really two deos in the Medrash. In the Medrash, it is presented ki'ilu it is a machlokes in Chazal, what is pshat in arefa? Is it mitzvahs pediyah and then mitzvahs arefa? Or is it really a knas? So he suggests, daf yud gimel and daf yud, though that's really a machlokes in the Medrash. It's not a everyone fits together. There's a real machlokes in Chazal. What is it? Is it really a mitzvah or is it not a mitzvah? Says the Ma'arid al-Ghazi, what's pshat in shittas harambam? The Rambam Shita is, look at the Stam Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, it's called a mitzvah. That's how we pask, and it's considered to be a mitzvah. So up until now, we have the Ravid, who's an extreme, it's not a mitzvah at all. Even when we say mitzvah, we really mean Avera. Or we have the Rambam, it really is a mitzvah. The Gemara says it's more of a knas. That's a deya that we don't paskin like. There are two other ways of making it a little bit more... to explain how you count it as a mitzvah, what do I do with the Gemara that makes it sound like it's more of a knas? And here you find a little bit of a nuanced perspective. The Minchas Chinuch points out that whole Ma'arid al-Ghazi doesn't work for the Sefer HaChinuch. because a Sefer Achina counts a mitzvah of mitzvahs areifas pater chamor. He also writes that the purpose of the mitzvah is who? Yivsa, yat mimono shal kohen, so too we're going to mess him over. So the Mechina points out, you can't say for the Sefer Achinach that he learned it was really a machlokas. It was a mitzvah, so therefore suggest the Minchas Chinach, again, we'll chaz in a second, therefore suggest the Minchas Chinach, it is a mitzvah, but the geder of that mitzvah is it's a mitzvah to cause a loss to your Petr Chamor if you chose not to pode it. It's an odd kind of a mahal. I don't really understand it that much. What he's trying to do is merge the mitzvah and the knas. So he's saying it really is a mitzvah, but the mitzvah is to cause it. The other way of saying it, which I think is much smoother, the Zohar Rakia says it differently, and this I think makes a lot of sense. There's a mitzvah of being podeh. That mitzvah is chal on the bialim. You've mitzvah to be podeh. The mitzvah of areifas peter chamor says Zohar Rakia, if you want to count the mitzvah, that is a mitzvah areifas peter chamor. Who is it incumbent upon? Beis Din. That Beis Din will punish you with a areifas peter chamor, the same way that in this minyan ha-mitzvos, Beis Din's punishments sometimes get counted minyan taryag. As an example, Rambam and Rabbah Machlokas, the dal misos Beis Din. Skilus Rebbe, how are we going to count it? Is that four mitzvahs? Is that one mitzvah? But it's counted as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah posthumous incumbent upon Beis Din to implement certain punishments. So too, a mitzvah incumbent upon Beis Din is to implement it. Let's chazer what we have seen thus far, just to be clear as far as the general shitos, and then hopefully we'll be able to pin things down a little bit. What we saw more or less thus far is that there's mitzvah, there's something called a reifas peter chamor. When you have a peter chamor, you take the knife or whatever kind of an item that is an axe, whatever it is, and you kill the animal. What we have, we spoke about a machlokas harishonim, is that considered to be a mitzvah or is it not a mitzvah? The Rambam, it's a mitzvah. The Ravid, Shlomo and Briel, it's not considered to be a mitzvah. As each one has l'chor, an explicit raya, what exactly do they do with the various rayas? So, one way of saying it is that really it's rive, it's pure avera. Oh, we call it a mitzvah. No. It's not really a mitzvah. That just is agav grara. Or, really it is a mitzvah. Why does the Gemara say it's more of a knas? That shelo aliba de hilchasa. We don't pass like that day. We saw some middle ideas. It's a little bit of a mitzvah. It's also a little bit of a knas. I'll share one more mahal, and then we'll take pause for questions. The Radvaz has a tshuva, where the Radvaz writes that maybe the pshat in the Ravid, or what at least you could have suggested, I don't know if it's so clear in the Ravid, suggested one way of what you could have suggested is yesh l'chalik, between whether a kohen is available or a kohen is not available. If a kohen is available, then the mitzvah is to be podet. If a kohen's not available, so then it's not meant to be podet. If I'm not podet and a kohen's available, then it's a punishment to do a Ravid Petr Chamor. Then for you it's a knas, because you should have given it to a kohen. But if there's no kohen available, so what do you want me to do? I have nothing else I can do. I can't be poda it. There's no kohen to give anything to. So rather then the mitzvah becomes areifa, in which case it's possible for some rishonim that areifa, the question is that a mitzvah or not is a question really of availability. It's a question of, is there someone there to work on, am I able to do it? Yeah. There's no kohen in the area. You live in some shtetl in Poland, and there's no kohen in the area. By the way, apparently on YouTube, there's like, Petr Chamor is not done that often, and when there are, it draws like very large crowds. If anyone's looking for something to do after we finished Petr Chamor, and you want to see a Lemaisa Petr Chamor, so if you, there's one like in Bnei Brak a couple years ago, there's one like funky one it looks like in, whatever, some far out places, but there are at least in some of these things, we want to spend a little bit of time watching, that's probably like very, I didn't watch it, but I imagine that's very like, you know, it's hard to compete with like people that ping pong with their heads, but I will do my best to check that out at some point in time. Yeah. No, mitzvah and Beis Din to implement punishment. Yeah, but Beis Din has the same way. Yeah. Okay. Let's try to just elaborate on one nekuda. I want to deepen something with a beautiful mahalich of the Lubavitcher Rebbe and Likutei Sichos, and it's one that I think is. Let me first just point out one thing. One thing quickly. There is an interesting shaila, which is a nafkamina of this issue. The Minchas Chinuch points out in Mitzvah Chav Gimel, the Minchas Chinuch points out something interesting. When you look in Shulchan Aruch, these halachas are shayach bizman hazeh. When you look in Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch writes there's a mitzvah, there's a bracha you recite when you're podeh peter chamor, but Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote a mitzvah, a bracha, when you do a reifas peter chamor. Why is there no bracha when you do a reifas peter chamor? What exactly is the pshat? Why isn't there a bracha? So let's point out like this. If I hold it's not really a mitzvah, it's just a punishment, so that's why there's not going to be a bracha. You only recite a brachas mitzvah on mitzvahs. So that's why there wouldn't be. However, the Michas Chinuch has a different pshat. What if you hold it is a mitzvah? What if you hold it is a mitzvah? So the Michas Chinuch points out you have a similar phenomenon when it comes to Yibum and Chalitza. There are some Rishonim that imply that when it comes to the mitzvah of Yibum, but Yibum does get a bracha, that the Torah quotes from the Baal HaEter. But in Hilchos Chalitza, the Torah does not quote a bracha you recite in Chalitza. So says the Michas Chinuch, what's the pshat? If a reifas peter chamor really is a mitzvah, why wouldn't it get a bracha? Why wouldn't it get a bracha? So he suggests something which is interesting, and that is the following. When Chazal instituted Birchas HaMitzvah, they don't recite it on every single mitzvah. They only recite it on mitzvahs that are chaviv. The majority of mitzvahs are chaviv. But the mitzvah of chalitza and the mitzvah of arefas, peter chamor, and this is a bit of the michas chinuch l'shitaso, that even if it's a mitzvah, it's more of a punishment kind of a mitzvah. This is not what Chazal really, but the Torah really wants you to do. Mitzvahs yibam may be kodem l'mitzvahs chalitza, and mitzvahs p'diya may be kodem mitzvahs arefa. And therefore, it's something like this. Even if arefas, peter chamor is a mitzvah, it's not going to get a bracha. Because Chazal only instituted brachas on mitzvahs that were chaviv. And mitzvah like this, that was not so chaviv, is not going to be worthy of a bracha. Now, obviously, that is a major assumption, not just about Arev Peter Chamor, an assumption about Birchas HaMitzvah. So those of us that are familiar with Birchas HaMitzvah, we would point out as follows. Which sheet does that make a lot of sense for? If it's a matir like the Rav, so then there's no reason why we mechal with the mitzvahs. If it's about kavana like the ritva, to have more kavana, so then every mitzvah requires a great kavana. But if it's like the Orzarua writes, that it's shevach v'hoda'a, that the Orzarua writes, it's chavivas of mitzvahs. That's why we recite brachas. So then, again, another assumption. You're assuming that it may be a bad chavivas and that there are tiers of chavivas in mitzvahs and less chaviv ones don't get brachas. But at least we can understand part of the orientation. If part of what a Birchas HaMitzvah is being mishabeach the Ribono Shel Olam for the mitzvah, so that may only be true with mitzvahs that are more chaviv. It's still a chiddush Michas Chinuch. There's a lot of levels of chiddush here, but at least it's like we've somewhat minimized the extent of the chiddush. The last part tonight, I want to share a beautiful. It's awesome. It's a bit of lamdas and it's beautiful. Ha'ara of the Baba Cherebi and the Sichos in Rashi al HaTorah, and it's a deepening in the following side. So far, we've seen mitzvah or not mitzvah. We saw that in the mitzvah side, there's a good deal of action. Is it a regular mitzvah? Is it a tier 2 mitzvah? Is it a fallout? It's less chaviv? Is it a mitzvah incumbent on Beis Din? But what about on the punishment side? What's pshat on the punishment? I have a chomesh shmos with Rashi. Is there a Rashi somewhere? I'm sorry, I just totally... A shmos? Great. Points out like this. Is it in shmos or is it in... Here, let's go to source number 8 on the sheet. Rashi writes like this. Some of us that are familiar with the Rebbe and Rashi, this is a good example of just how precise he really is. He writes like this, V'arafto. You ready? Orfo bikofitz me'achora v'hargo. You break its neck with a long knife. Hu hifsid mimono shal kohen, l'fichach yafsid mimono. Baba Trebi points out as follows. Rashi does two things. He first defines for us what it is, and then he explains, he quotes that Gemara in Bechoris and Daf Yud, that you caused a loss to the Kohen, and we're going to cause a loss to you. That Gemara that the Ravid was so into, that the Maharal Ghazi thought was not a Libet de Hilchasa, that's what Rashi quotes. Baba Trebi points out as follows. Two things. Number one, why does Rashi, remember he reads everything is very close, everything's very precise. Number one, why does Rashi combine both of these things into one piece? He first defines it, and then he gives us Tamei HaMitzvah. Why include that all in one deeper Maskel in Rashi? Two, Rashi Bederekal does not talk about Tamei Mitzvos. Rashi doesn't normally explain Tamei Mitzvos. Why is he bringing in that? The reason is because it's more of a knas. Rashi does not often explain like why there's a mitzvah here. That's not usually his mahal. So Lavitz Rebbe in his Perush in Chumash, that's what he points out. Third question, Rashi actually changed the Gemara. A very small change, but a very fascinating one. Instead of saying, the Gemara says that because he caused the loss of the Kohen, lefichach yufsad mimono. His mamon will be lost. Rashi changed it to lefichach yafsid mimono. Therefore, he should suffer a financial loss. Yufsad versus yafsid. Doesn't seem to be so significant, but Rashi did make that change. Lavitz Rebbe offers the following suggestion. I'll say it as a chakira, because some achronim asked this question, but he hones in on one nekuda. What's the svara? Because he caused a loss to a kohen, we're going to cause a loss to him. One way of saying it, it's a din in the peter chamor. It's a din in the animal. The animal's supposed to go to a kohen. Because you didn't give it to a kohen, so that's what the animal is destined for. If the animal is not going to go to a kohen, or it's not going to be redeemed, so you could have it. So the animal has to die. The animal has to give up. It has a certain kedusha in it. One way, kedushas guf, kedushas damim, kedushas bechor, has a kedusha in it. And if you're not going to take it and give it over, so then it's worthy of it gets killed. However, suggests the Lavitz Rebbe, maybe that's not true. Maybe it's not a din in the... That, by the way, is shot in Lefichach Yufsad Mimono. Yufsad Mimono is about the mamon itself. It's a din in the animal that because the animal has kedusha and it's not going to the mamon, it's not going to be redeemed to its natural location, that's why the animal has to go. But Rashi changes it. He changes it to Yafsid Mimono. He changes it to being a din in the gavra. It's not a din in the mamon. It's that you have to be punished. You have to be punished as the result of what you did. That's why it's yafsid mimono. He should suffer a loss. Says the Lavitz Rebbe. Now let's unravel the beginning of Rashi also. Rashi quotes what it is. It all flows smoothly. You break the neck with a long knife from behind it and kill it. What's bothering Rashi? What's bothering Rashi is the following. If it's a din that the animal has to die, so why do we do it in such a gruesome, intense, and specific way? If the animal has to die, so kill the animal. However, it's the easiest way is to kill an animal. If that's the kedusha of the animal, you have to get rid of it, so just kill it. We're makbid dafka to kill it in such an intense, vicious way. So the Baba Terebi points out, Rashi goes on. Why are we so makbid to kill it in that way? Because we're punishing the Bailim. We're making the Bailim come. Who mas Moshe Kohen? The fichach yafsid mimono. It's not just the punishment of the Bailim. Is not just he's the one who does this. The punishment of the Bailim is not just that his animal, he has to lose the monetary value of the animal. What he did, says the Lavitz Rebbe, is such achzarius. What is he marviach by not redeeming it? He has a peter chamor in his property. The Peter Chamor right now, it's usher for him to use. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, it's usher Bahana, he can't use it. So he has two options right now. He can either redeem it for a set, which the Gemara tells us is worth less money than the Chamor. So either he can give the Kohen a set, and he can make a profit. Either way he can make a profit, or he can do nothing, which is suffering a loss and nothing going to the Kohen. Says the only reason why a person would not be poed as Peter Chamor is because there's a certain kind of achzarius here. He's cruel. He's not going to. Wait, the best move, redeem it. Your Chamor's worth, lemashal, $1,000. A set costs $500. Give the $500 to the Kohen. You'll walk out with a $500 profit because you have a $1,000 worth Chamor now. Right now, you have a Chamor you can't use. You're not redeeming it with verseh. You are just doing this to mess over the Kohen. You're just doing this. I'm willing to swallow a loss, so the Kohen is going to be messed over. You're marviach nothing here. What you did was cruel. So what do we do back to you? What's the punishment? You caused yafsid mimono shel Kohen. You caused the Kohen to get messed over for no reason other than cruelty. Lefichach yafsid mimono. We're going to make your mamon also be killed through a form of cruelty. And that's why we dafka take the knife and kill there. But that's shot. Number one, what's the connection? The reason why Rashi typically doesn't bring in Tamei Mitzvos. He only brings it in when the Pashat Pshat is troubling. The Pashat Pshat is, I don't get it. I kill it with a long knife, but why would I do that? Why would I do that? It's so cruel, just kill it. No, because the nature of this is a punishment. And the nature of this is a punishment in the Gavra. What's the punishment for? It's not Stam causing a loss to a Kohen. Geneva also causes a loss. But in Geneva, at least I'm Marviach something. In Geneva, at least I whatever I got from him, I now have. Here, you're Marviach nothing. It's usher to use. You're going to do the Arefa. You're going to kill it right now, and that's it. And you're causing yourself a loss, causing the Kohen a loss. There's a cruelty there, and that's why we respond in that way. So he points out, in the tzad that, let's say it's really not that much of a mitzvah, in the tzad that it's really a form of punishment, a knas, it's not a din in the animal. The animal's kadosh. The animal can do anything with, so the mice that we have to kill it, because right now it's not going to the Kohen. It's a punishment on the gavra. You have to do this. He suggests, therefore, a bit of an afkamina. A bit of an afkamina, a shayla of the minchas chinuch. I believe, I have to double check this, but I believe it goes like this. The Gemara tells us in Bechoros Daf Yud Aleph, if you want to be poda at your friends, Petr Chamor, you could do it. Quote is asking at the end. If you, Petr Chamor, and I'm a nice guy, I can give the set to the Kohen on your behalf, and it's all good. And it's all good. I can do it for someone else. Petr Chaskinov, can you do a refus Petr Chamor for someone else? Can I do that? Let's say you are a vicious kind of a guy, and you're waiting for the guy who says, nope, can I do it or not? Says Lubavitch Rebbe, Lifi my shot, the answer is no. You can do pidyon petr chamor for someone else. You can't do arefa. Because the punishment of arefa is a yafsid memono, and that he dafka has to do it, because what's the whole yisod hadavar? He engaged in cruelty by the kohen, so now he has to lose his money also through a form of cruelty. Let's chazer what we spoke about tonight. We spoke about the arefa petr chamor. We saw Mahal Kasari showing him. Rambam and the Ravid, is it considered to be a mitzvah, or is it not a mitzvah? We saw that each one has a good Maimar Chazal, Gemara and Bechor is backing them up. We saw there are some middle approaches. It's a mitzvah, but a mitzvah more of a knas, whatever that means. Or it's a mitzvah incumbent upon Dayanim to punish the guy. We then saw that in the tzad that it's a punishment, so how does it really work? Is it did in the carbon itself, in the animal itself, or it did in punishing the guy in the Baba Trebi's Pshat as far as Rashi in Chumash goes, why Rashi includes it, why it's atypical that he brings it Tamei HaMitzvos, and why he changes the girsa of Yufsa to Yafsid. You can buy the pshat or not buy the pshat. There's a certain brilliance always in the close reading of of how A leads to B and B leads to C, which is incredibly impressive. Shkari, guys, have a wonderful night.